I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
Podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John Cobell Podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Moist Lines 877-MOIST-86, 877-MOIST-86. And we've got a special guest coming on, Ethan Weaver. Maybe you haven't heard of him. He's the L.A. Deputy City Attorney, and he is running for city council against Nithya Raman, who is a socialist, proud socialist, belongs to the DSA, Democratic Socialists of America. They're practically communists. They're strongly anti-police and really pro-chaos and pro-anarchy, because in her district, homelessness has gone crazy, lots of crime. We've had more people calling from Nithya Raman's district in our audience than almost any other city district, because it encompasses the Valley, Sherman Oaks, Van Nuys, Studio City, Reseda, Encina, and then a lot in the hills on the other side of the mountain range, Los Feliz, Silver Lake, Hollywood Hills. And I've mentioned this several times in promoting Ethan Reaver's appearance, but some unforgivable stuff, like the homeless encampment in front of the school in Los Feliz, where the gang members were selling drugs and weapons out of the tents, and Nithya Raman would not move the tents. And then the business owners who were getting assaulted by the insane homeless people, restaurant owner who had a bag of human feces thrown at him by this this homeless guy. And the restaurant owner actually confronted Nithya Raman on television, took a Fox 11 reporter to where Raman was appearing. And you know, she was so angry and upset. How dare she be challenged? Well, last night was a big candidate event between Raman and Ethan Weaver, and the crowd was decidedly anti-Nithya. Let's get Ethan Weaver on. Ethan, how are you?
I'm doing great, John. Thanks for having me on your show.
Well, thank you for running against Nithya Raman.
You are welcome.
I think part of the problem is reasonable, intelligent people don't get involved in the politics anymore, and the lunatics have taken over.
Yeah, you know, I totally hear you. I never wanted to run for office. That was never part of my life dream. I went to law school to be a prosecutor. That was the only thing that I wanted to accomplish in life. And for the last 9 years, I've been a prosecutor with the city attorney's office. And 5 years ago, I had the opportunity of a lifetime when I became a neighborhood prosecutor in Hollywood. And what a neighborhood prosecutor is a prosecutor that works in the local police station. Every day of the week, I worked out of the Hollywood police station on Wilcox and Fountain. And my job was to work with the community to solve problems on the ground. And I worked with residents, with small business owners, Chamber of Commerce, pretty much anyone in Hollywood that had a public safety problem. And if you've spent much time in Hollywood, there was plenty of public safety problems to go around. But that was really where the rubber meets the road in the city. And I started to see the absolute breakdown with the current administration in handling not just public safety problems, but problems in the city across the board. And that's what motivated me to get into this race.
Right. So you've seen this. You've encountered this personally every day with your deputy city attorney job. You know exactly how bad it is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a great example. This was just in the news last week. There was an encampment under Cahuenga and the 101, and it was a huge encampment, and probably 30, 40, maybe even 50 people living there. And during the pandemic, someone built a two-story wood structure in this underpass, completely obstructing the sidewalk. There was a slide, like a playground slide, going down the side of it, it was a fire hazard, it was a safety hazard. This encampment was so bad. A member of the neighborhood council was trying to walk down that sidewalk, had to walk out into traffic to get around it, and was struck by a car.
Oh, no.
Absolutely, and would suffer some really significant injuries. When my opponent was elected, we asked for a meeting. We being law enforcement, asked for a meeting with her staff. And finally, they agreed to have a Zoom about this encampment. And the first words out of one of her field deputies' mouths was, and I'm not making this up, was, "Why are we even having this meeting? It's just a bunch of rich white people complaining."
Yeah.
And
great.
And then a few minutes later,
they're anarchists and they're racist. That's a great combination.
It was dumbfounding. I've never heard a city staff say something like that before. And then another one of her staffers on the call said, "Well, we can't tear down that wood structure. It's the community center for that encampment. It's like their church. We have to preserve." I have never been dumbfounded on a call before, but this call dumbfounded me.
No, that's the thing. You cannot discuss these things. You can't debate them. They're so crazy. They're so whacked out with whatever cult ideology they believe in. All you have to do, the only thing you do is remove them. I mean, you know, thank you for running for office, and I hope people understand that Nithya Raman absolutely has to be removed from the city council, and you're the guy to replace her, because this really is created nothing but chaos, nothing but anarchy. There's nothing good coming of this. Nobody likes this. This is not a political issue. This is basic day-to-day life survival.
It is so crazy to me because I'm not a politician. I've never done this before. And when I'm out meeting with the community and sharing my thoughts about the future of Los Angeles and what I want to accomplish, the number one comment I get is, thank God, someone finally is just speaking with common sense. The things I want to pursue are not brilliant, outside the box, no one's ever thought of them before. It's just common sense solutions to the problems we're all seeing that for some reason no one is incentivized to follow through on. And that's why I'm running. Let's just restore a little bit of sanity to City Hall.
I just want to bring back the normal way we used to live, which wasn't that long ago. Ryan, we're not going back to the 1950s here. I'd be happy to go back to the mid-2010s.
Yes. I just finished this afternoon a walk on Van Nuys Boulevard of small businesses. I was just meeting small business owners. And we hit four stores in a row, all women-owned, minority-owned small businesses who all keep their doors locked between customers because of the violence and the crime that comes into their stores every day. And this is a cute part of Sherman Oaks that should be highly trafficked by neighbors just walking around their day shopping. And these small business owners have to keep their doors locked in Sherman Oaks. I mean, this should be where we feel safe as a community. And these women-owned businesses have to keep their doors locked just to keep themselves and their employees safe. It's outrageous.
No, Sherman Oaks has gone through a lot of bad changes over the last few years.
Yeah,
because I'm there frequently. I know it well. I used to live not far from Sherman Oaks, so I traveled there every day. And it was what's happened to it is just a shame. And it's true for all the communities in your district. What was it like last night at this forum? Because, you know, all I can go by is the 2.5 minutes on Channel 7. It seemed like the crowd was not happy with Nithya Raman.
No, they were not. And, you know, I've been very fortunate to build a lot of relationships with the Sherman Oaks community, with communities across the district, because as a neighborhood prosecutor, I learned that leadership starts at the community level. Leadership starts with showing up, listening to what people actually want out of their leadership and out of their city, and then doing something about it. So I've been building a relationship with this community and other communities, you know, for over a year now. And I knew walking into this community, their frustrations and their problems. And I've been going to their meetings consistently for over a year now. And in all of that time, I've only seen my opponent at that meeting once. And that was the day that she made her very infamous statements about the real bad guys in catalytic converter thefts are Toyota and Honda for making it too easy to steal. So, you know, with that kind of warm up, I wasn't too worried about the crowd.
Right.
But it was, I think it was a really great opportunity because we both, I think, really were able to convey what we think and believe about the future of Los Angeles very honestly. And the crowd, I think, made it very clear about whose vision for the future they supported. And I felt very good walking out of that room last night.
God, I hope so. And I imagine it is crime and homelessness that dominate everybody's concerns.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But also, you know, something that is very that you think of being specific to the Valley, but it's affecting our whole community is development, and where we build new housing and how we build new housing is also a big issue because the Valley is a community and we have some really big projects coming in that got no support from the city council office at all, or no support of the community. I mean, a great example is there's this project on Ethel Street. It's a quiet little community, single family home neighborhood. There's nothing more than two stories tall buildings in miles. And the city dropped a 7-story, 200-unit apartment complex right in the middle of this quiet neighborhood. It's right up against a school that services 600 students with autism. It's in the middle of an Orthodox Jewish community with a Chabad at the end of the street that everyone walks to synagogue, walks to the Chabad with to every Saturday. And in the middle of this sleepy, quiet neighborhood, a seven-story, 200-unit apartment complex is being dropped. And what is the real kicker is that the surrounding community, they didn't find out about this from their city council office. They found out about it when the El Segundo Times called them and asked them for comments. And I cannot think of a more jarring way to find out your community is about to change irrevocably than a reporter calling you and asking you about it. And this kind of indifference to the community is so wrong, and it leaves people feeling like their government is their enemy, not actually their servant.
Ethan Weaver, we'll talk with you again, all right, as we get close to Election Day.
I would love that.
Because she's got to go. Ethan Weaver running against Nithya Raman. Thank you for coming on, and good luck.
Great. Thank you so much. Have a great one.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
I think, was it yesterday or the day before, we told you that the Los Angeles Times executive editor quit on short notice. He was fed up with the owner, Patrick Soon-Shiong, and apparently the owner's daughter, Nikki, who had grossly interfered with him running the newsroom. The daughter is pro-Palestinian. And the family, both Soon-Shiong's, were objecting to Kevin Morita suspending 25 to 30 journalists from covering the Israel-Gaza war because they were openly, publicly pro-Gaza, pro-Hamas. So you can't have a couple of dozen journalists who are pro-Hamas covering the Israeli war. Obviously. So Kevin Morita took them off. They were disallowed from contributing to the coverage. And the owner, Soon-Shiong, objected. The daughter objected. Finally, Kevin Morita, that and 10,000 other things, he threw up his hands. And Soon-Shiong has thrown $1 billion into the paper, and it's losing money by the tens of millions every year. I mean, he's just shoveling more and more of his fortune. And they've got about half to a third of the subscriptions that they need to be viable. It's just not a viable business anymore. They've destroyed it with constant left-wing propaganda and left-wing bias. They promote every insane candidate. The more insane, the more they promote them. All the coverage is slanted. They have columnists who are just, again, it's like I said before, these people are not worth debating even. It's enough worth discussing. They're all Nithya Ramans. They're like that Nithya Raman aide who's, talking about homelessness and the people complaining about homelessness. Well, these are just rich white people complaining. Well, that's the kind of crowd you have at the LA Times, too. It's the same mentality. So anyway, the Times is in a lot of trouble. It really is dying. And the LA Times Guild, that's the union, has called an emergency meeting. Leadership was told that the newspaper intends to imminently execute another major round of layoffs. They only have a fraction of the staff that they used to. And the bargaining committee told members they can't say exactly how many staffers will be laid off. But the New York Times got a memo, and the headline was, "This is the big one." This is on the headline of the memo. And here's part of the memo. Today, management asked the LA Times Guild Bargaining Committee to make an impossible choice. We're calling an emergency membership meeting at the Zoom link. The company has told us it intends to imminently execute a major round of layoffs and has asked the Guild to gut seniority protections in our contract so they have more freedom to pick who to lay off. If we agreed to their request, they could choose almost any member they want. In exchange, management would add a layer of buyouts, and they would lay off 50 fewer guild members. So the bargaining meetings were off the record, so they couldn't say anything further. But it looks like the paper is near death, really. They don't have an executive editor anymore. They never had a publisher. They don't have like a business CEO guy. It's just Soon-Shiong and the daughter, and much of the newsroom wasn't even allowed to cover the Israeli war because of their bias. Not good, because nobody's buying the paper. Nobody's subscribing online. It's nobody's advertising. It's dead. They killed it. And there's very little worth reading in it now. You know, every once in a while, I guess maybe some of the old guard still works there and they do a journalism story that's worth covering. But I spend more time picking stories out of the El Segundo Times just to mock. They provide more like comedy than they provide actual journalism. So if it goes, it goes. What are you going to do? It's useless now. So if it just stopped existing, what is the loss at this point?
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
John Cobalt on demand, the podcast, whatever you missed. And if you missed our first segment this hour, please listen, especially if you live in the San Fernando Valley or in the Hollywood Hills and adjacent communities, because Ethan Weaver is who you should be voting for to replace Nithya Raman on the LA City Council, because he is sane and she is completely nuts. And she's a socialist and an aggressive, destructive one who has just created a lot of havoc in these communities like Sherman Oaks and Encino and all along both sides of the Santa Monica Mountains, Van Nuys. Terrible. Mike Bonin territory. Bonin got removed. He got chased out. Nithya Raman has got to be next. So you want to listen to the interview with Ethan Weaver. We've got a couple of amusing things with this presidential race coming up. First thing is Donald Trump Jr. Went on News Nation, the cable news outlet, talked to Rob Finnerty about possible vice presidential candidates. You might be surprised at one of the names, like clip three.
Could you see your father running with Ron DeSantis? I asked him that question over the summer, and he didn't rule it out. Could you see Ron DeSantis?
It's hard. You know, they people do that. Like, you know, I would do whatever I could to make sure it wasn't Nikki Haley. But, a Ron DeSantis, could I see? You're never going to rule out someone that is, you know, a leading contender. It doesn't mean that's who you go with. I could see other people that would be great. I'd love to see, you know, a J.D. Vance. I'd love to see a Tucker Carlson. I'd love to see, you know, people who are just principally, in alignment as well as, like, aggressive. You actually need a fighter. The Republicans in Washington, D.C. are weak. You can have the House, the Senate, and they'll still roll over.
Don, is your dad serious about Tucker Carlson? Are those rumors serious?
I would imagine. You know, listen, that's clearly, it would be on the table, right? I mean, they're very friendly. I think they agree on virtually all of these things. They certainly agree on stopping the never-ending wars. I would love to see that happen. And, you know, that would certainly be a contender.
Tucker Carlson. Vice President Tucker Carlson. Meantime, Kamala Harris, the current vice president, she went on The View. Hey, those roosters. Now, she has been the border czar for several years now, and the border is a disaster. Here's what she says, that we do quickly get into word salad territory. I don't know if we'll be able to translate this after the fact, but let's try to play close attention and see where this goes.
Madam Vice President, on that, I have to ask about border security. So sure. 2023 was the biggest year for illegal border crossings, with resources stretched, fentanyl pouring into the country, cities pushed to the brink. Do you think this is a crisis, and what is being done to address the root causes of our immigration problem?
I think the segue couldn't be more perfect, because, listen, first of all, everyone knows our immigration system is broken.
Right.
Okay. The first bill that we dropped, the first bill that we offered right after inauguration, was to fix the immigration system, a comprehensive plan to deal with the immigration system. Do you think they've taken it up? No. We want solutions. The solutions are at hand. But frankly, we're in an election year. Mm-hmm. And the folks who want to return Donald Trump to the White House would prefer to talk about a broken immigration system instead of focusing on the solutions that are at hand and engaging in bipartisan work. Let's remember the days of George Bush, John McCain, even Lindsey Graham. who agreed that let's fix this, let's work together on the solutions to fix this.
Yeah, but if you're working, then it makes the Biden administration look good, and they don't want that.
But what are you doing to work with Republicans to try to solve this issue once and for all?
We offered a bill. We have offered that there would be, in the Senate, we have offered that there will be a bipartisan work to fix it. So it literally was the first bill we passed. And I think it's critically important that we understand that there are petty politics at play on this issue as much as anything. We need solutions. The solutions are at hand. We have to work on them together. We have offered, for example, that in our security package coming up, $14 billion that we would like them to approve.
Which Senate Republicans support.
To address this issue. And Senate Republicans support it. So, hey, let's all participate in solutions if we want to call ourselves leaders.
Oh, my God. I get a headache listening to that. I don't know what the hell she's talking about. After Biden took office, he had a majority in the Senate and in the House of Representatives. In fact, Kamala Harris was the tie-breaking vote for the majority. So if they wanted to get something done, they could have... They could have gotten it done. And I know you need 60 votes in the Senate, but you could make a, that's what negotiations are about. Anyway, she was the border czar. And also the Homeland Security Secretary keeps saying the border is secure. So, like, which is it? She says the immigration system is broken. And he goes around saying the border is secure. Meantime, there's 3 million people coming over the border. And root causes? Really? Root cause? You know what the root cause is? There's no law anymore at the border. We don't enforce existing laws. For the first time in our nation's history, we don't enforce the border. That's the root cause. Build the freaking wall. Throw these people back to their home country. 90% of them get rejected for their asylum claims. They're coming over by the millions with fake asylum claims. And there's nowhere to put them. So they're joining theft gangs in New York City. They're sleeping in the streets in Chicago. Chicago's putting them in running buses to keep them warm. They're sleeping at airports. I mean, immigrants are being sent by the hundreds to Chicago and New York. And then Chicago, New York is turning around and shipping these migrants to other towns and cities. There's no vacancy anywhere. She talks and talks and talks. And what? She is the border czar. What did that mean to be the border czar? My God, they just blow gas, don't they? That's all they do. And right now, the House of Representatives, the Republican Speaker Mike Johnson, said they are not sending any more money to Ukraine unless there is a severe crackdown at the U.S.-Mexico border. So there's your solution. How about that? Do a severe crackdown. That's what the House Republicans want, and then they'll give you money for Ukraine. Johnson told reporters after a meeting with Biden that I told the president that we must have change at the border, substantive policy change. We must insist that the border be the top priority. Yes, that's the attitude to have. It's like, all right, enough of this. There has to be a mood in this country from the local issues here in Los Angeles to the national ones, enough of this, okay? These woke progressives had their run. They had their day. They created a lot of anarchy and chaos. Life is worse. Nobody's happy with this. Let's fix it. Let the normal people run things. Let's have normal, common sense, obvious solutions, right? Close the border. Because, you know, the fentanyl thing? We come back. Another fentanyl story here in California. Boy, if you work in an elections office, be careful when you open the mail. You're not going to believe this.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
John Cobalt Show on Demand is the podcast that will be posted in a little while. Conway coming up here in just a few minutes. Moist line, you want to get in for tomorrow, 877-MOIST-86, 877-MOIST-86. 86, and we'll play that back around this time tomorrow. This is just so depressing, so soul-sucking. there's a story that Karen Bass is not in Los Angeles this week. She's gone to Washington to moderate a homeless forum. Really, this is what they do. What she should be doing is be walking on the street supervising the removal of these encampments. Instead, she flies to Washington, D.C. They have a U.S. Conference of Mayors winter meeting, 3 days in Washington. And she's going to focus on addressing the challenge communities face around homelessness. And get the big idea here. This is what makes me whack my head against the wall. We're going to have a task force convening. We're going to have a task force. To do what? The only thing that's ever going to work, and when they have limited success, it's because they do this. They go up to Mr. Insane Drug Addict, Mr. Mental Patient, and say, you can't be camped here anymore. You have to go somewhere else. We have a place for you. Now come. What they should do is, you are going to go to jail because defecating and urinating in the street is a crime, and we will not send you to jail if you go for mental patient treatment or drug addiction treatment. Until they do that, by the way, you don't need a task force and a six-hour meeting. You need to write a few lines on a paper. Here's the policy. The policy is you get up and move. We'll give you a place. And you have to go to treatment. Because we're not dealing with you running off one night from your new little hovel, and then we find you on the street again with a needle sticking out of your arm and you're doing drugs. But the task force, we want to meet with the administration. We need the things done administratively. Some things need to be legislative. But we just finished our second task force meeting. We're trying to organize the delegation to advocate for specific changes in policy. We need to address the hundreds of thousands of Americans who are sleeping on the streets every night. They're on fentanyl. Fentanyl killed 8. Do you know how many people died of an overdose in San Francisco last year? 806 that they were able to count. 806. That's life in California. There's fentanyl everywhere. There's dead bodies everywhere. There's homeless people whacked out on fentanyl or meth everywhere. So you have to put them in jail. You have to send them to treatment centers. You have to seal the border. There's your task force. Speaking of fentanyl, an elections office worker was exposed to fentanyl after opening an envelope. It had a suspicious white powder. This happened yesterday in Yuba County, which is north of Sacramento. It's a rural area. And the test turned up traces of fentanyl. It was mailed to the elections department in Yuba County. Oh, you know there's going to be a lot of this going on because all the crazy people are angry with the elections departments around the country. The envelope did not look suspicious at first and seemed to come from a verified agency, whatever that means. Why don't they speak English? What the hell is a verified agency? The worker who opened the package notified police after finding powder inside. Election offices have faced harassment since 2020. You know what? And the threats tend to occur in small rural counties. Election officials in Nevada and Shasta counties have to have security, extra security. And the Yuba office actually has naloxone. That is the treatment for overdose. Well, it's an overdose reversal medication, right? So they're so afraid of getting fentanyl sent to them that they have naloxone in the office in case one of the workers opens up an envelope and poof, the powder goes up their nose. They've had fentanyl-laced letters sent to a number of election offices in California and elsewhere. Conway's here.
Hey now. Yeah, that fentanyl's a bad deal.
Yes.
That's my take on it.
Don't be careful opening the mail.
That's right. But they keep saying there's the, 8 million pills that came over the border could kill 160 million people. Like, really? Well, I don't know if that's true or not.
Where are all the dead people?
Where are the 160 million dead?
That's right.
I don't know. Theoretically. But you know what it is? You know who it's killing? It's not killing seasoned drug users. It's killing the first timers.
Yeah.
You know, because the guy who's been on coke and crack and meth, those are potato chips for him. You know, he can down those meth pills, or not meth pills, the fentanyl pills.
Yeah.
Like it's cereal. It's the guy, the people, the young kids who've never had it before. Oh, yeah. That's what gets them.
They don't know they're taking it.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so we have the Starlink launch might be tonight, but it's cloudy outside, so we're not going to be able to see that. Dean Sharp is coming in, or he's going to be on the phone. He's great. And then a new addition under construction, LAX, ahead of the major sporting events. We got the World Cup coming in. We've got the NBA All-Star Game coming in. We also have the, what else is coming? The Olympics. And then we also have the Super Bowl coming back. So L.A. is going to be the hub of the entertainment world over the next 10 years.
NBA All-Star Game, too.
Yeah, that's. I think I said NBA. Oh, no, maybe I didn't. NBA All-Star Game at the new Clippers Arena.
Yep.
Yeah, that's going to be this year or whatever the next, not this one, but the one after that. So.
All right.
But that's a big deal. I mean, we are the center of the entertainment universe. So if you live out here and you own a home, it's going to increase in value. I know everyone's talking about the home price or going to the toilet. Not here.
Oh.
Not here.
It's directly connected to the NBA All-Star team.
That's exactly right. The NBA All-Stars are going to come out here and buy your house.
I say, okay. Yeah, all right. Conway's economic analysis.
That's right. Yeah, take it from me.
Crozier's got the news live in the KFI 24-hour newsroom. Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.